Good evening.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, doing good.
Oh, good.
Busy like always.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope you don't have to mute that you can.
Oh, no, I'm going to mute. My phone isn't good, so I'm going to mute. I'll just wait for him to come on, and then I'll mute.
Okay, but are you going to carry on a conversation with us?
Huh? Oh, no, I'm just going
to
say good evening.
I hate to be the only one to ever make comments.
Yeah, no, I just listen. I have to absorb everything. So I listen to him. I listen to your comments, and sometimes, I have to figure out how I want to ask the question, and it takes me a while. So that's why I kind of wait till Wednesdays or Sundays when I speak with him to ask the questions. And sometimes,
mm-hmm.
I'm a little slow.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you able to hear me?
It's my phone, Chinook. I'm going to go on mute now. I think it's my phone.
It's not just yours, because something's wrong with mine, so I'm going to get off and call back in, see if it gets better.
Okay.
Good evening again.
Okay.
Yeah, now I can hear fine.
Okay, good.
I believe we're starting at verse 283 in section 55. Is that correct?
That's what I have written down.
Okay. Any questions before we start?
No, I'm trying to think. I think it was in the weekly Zohar that you mentioned make a matrix, and that really did help.
I don't think that was in our
everyday. I think that was the Torah portion.
Yeah, no, that was the Torah portion where you had the directions and the metals and the four elements and.
Right.
And
that really did
very, very difficult to follow the relationships. In fact, this morning in the Daily Zohar, because he reached that same section of the Zohar. And,
I think he had the angels and he had the tetragrammaton. It was a little extra. He didn't quite go into as much detail. He might in today's. I haven't checked today, but into the lesser metals.
Yes, I think he will, because mm-hmm. he was just going into those first two verses. So.
Mm-hmm. Mine is a scribbly copy, but hopefully I'll get to type it up.
I understand. But it's helpful, and it's also helpful if each person does it for themselves, because it reinforces the learning.
Mm-hmm.
So let us begin. L'shem Yehud Kutshap Rehu Ishkinte Bifi Luur Himud Hiluur Hiluur Himu Le'akta Shem Yudhe Bavavhe B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Le'mud Torah Mitzvah La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadenu kenenei aleinu maaseh yadenu kenenei hu. Ha Tanina Lutata Vistar Shamala Shat Bakolinun Naharin Atai Bistar Daskisu So Call Home Takifin Kiparzala Umate Vishava Vishav Atra Vikolinun Nehorin Itashkan Kameya Pumeya Felishnaya Malahata Eshahadud Lishneya Kharba Takifa. There is a serpent below from the left side that swims in all the rivers. It comes to the side, the left, because it can only draw sustenance from the left side of the rivers. Its scales are strong like iron, referring to its judgments, which are very strong. It draws sustenance from the sins of lower beings and invades the place. All lights in the rivers are thus darkened before this serpent. Its mouth and tongue are blazing fires. Its tongue is sharp and tough as a sword, meaning that his judgments are very severe and there is no salvation from him. Questions? Comments?
Well, it looks like we're in the negative side.
Well,
and I guess because rivers in last week's were different levels, so I guess we're going to see different levels here too. But seeing the Arn and knowing that Arn goes with Malkut, its judgments, coming to the lower beings, which I presume are people, human beings.
Let me ask a question. Is there a difference between the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, good and evil?
Well, it's one tree.
Now, here, in this verse, you are correct. In this verse, it's telling us that the serpent comes from below, that it receives its energy not from the higher levels, but from the lower levels of people making mistakes.
Right.
And because of that, it's able to penetrate in all the rivers. It comes up from the left side, and its essence is judgment. And there is no salvation from those judgments, and they're very severe. Now, is there protection from the judgments? What's the word salvation mean?
Well, to David, every time he was running from Saul and all, he used the word salvation, which was protection while he was here on the earth. You know, not the aspect that other religions believe, that it's something after you die.
Right.
In other words, it would be a good thing you'd have a period of chaos.
Salvation means that the period of chaos ends. Salvation means that there is protection from your own actions.
Mm-hmm.
On Rosh Hashanah, we blow a shofar. Why? There are many reasons, of course, but one of the reasons we blow the shofar is to eliminate all of the negative chaos that is coming from our own actions that the courts have ordered. But the shofar blowing blows it up. One of the metaphors we've used in our classes is about the like a ballistic missile is blowing, the shofar blast is a ballistic missile that causes chaos to detonate. But in reality, what's happening is you've changed yourself, and therefore that ballistic missile can't find you because it's marked for, in my case, it would be marked for Hanoch Ben Yaakov. But that person who did those actions no longer exists. But this whole idea of salvation is protection. And they're saying that it's the lower level negativity can get to the higher levels, there is no salvation. There is no protection. Now, there is protection. We all know that. By trusting in Hashem, by having certainty in Hashem, by praying to Hashem, all of the different metaphors. So the verse really doesn't make sense even in what we discussed last week. Perhaps it will make sense if we go on. So verse 284. Ad matei lemea goyama ukdein saev mikdisha v'yitchashkan nechorin unhorin ilain saltin min yama kedan yama mit. Mit palgin me moi bistar shemala veyama kafe vela nagdin me mo. When the serpent enters the temple in the sea, which is Malchut, the temple is defiled and its lights are extinguished. Thus the supernal lights, the lights of the top three sephirot, leave the sea. Then the waters of the sea split and go to the left side. The sea then freezes and its waters do not flow.
Well, I think the temple that's defiled is probably the person who transgress something, some mitzvot.
That's very nice. The sea is Malchut. Okay, now visualize the tree in the sense that the physical world is below Malchut. So the sea is Malchut. And when Malchut is separated from Zeranpin, it's in a frame of judgment. And any of the lights, any of the wisdom, because we're really talking about Chachma flowing into Malchut, any of the wisdom the three upper Sephirot leave Malchut. They leave the temple. The temple is the temple in Zeron Kin. The temple is, you know, there's a temple in Malchut itself. And yet, your idea that it's a human being who is trying to create a location, a place in their heart for Hashem, which would be the temple. So much of all of this is being described here, but it's explaining that just as the earlier verse says there's no salvation, this verse is saying that when Malchut separates from Zeron Kin, then the waters split and they go to the left side, which means they're going to judgment. And for the sea to freeze, I'm going to ask the metaphorical question, what's the difference between liquid water and snow and ice? They're all water. But there's water in different stages of judgment. Snow is a soft judgment. Ice is a harsh judgment. And so here it's saying it freezes. It doesn't tell you whether it's snow or ice. I hope my explanations are helpful at this point.
Yes. Several years ago, we had, well, by now, I guess it was in the 90s, it was about 10 years ago, maybe longer, might be 15 years ago, it was quite a while, but we had a severe freeze that, icicles hung from rooftops, so many trees were damaged, and, we had no electricity for 4 days. Before things started. So I've actually seen the effects of harsh judgment on the trees in an ice storm that lasted, for several days. So
I understand.
And of course, at that time, I saw the relationship between the trees receiving the judgment that really had come from us, from the people in the city.
I think that's what
I don't remember the exact details, but I remember that it was the trees being judged was linked to our to the people.
Let's go on to verse 285.
Okay.
We all darazad mila kamadiki v'chanachash hayarum mikol hayat hasadeh asher asa Hashem Elokim razad echivya v'isha nachat Me'ala l'ta'ata v'hushat al apei ma'in meriran v'nachet le'afte l'ta'ata ad yivlun goy rishto.
This explains the hidden meaning of now the serpent was craftier than all the beasts. The secret is that the wicked serpent descends from the upper to the lower. It draws the lights of the left downward, and it swims upon the bitter water. Thus it went down to ensnare Eve into eating fruit from the tree of knowledge. It draws the lights of the left down and ensnares them in his net. Question? Comments, thoughts?
I suppose that was why Moses was reluctant to go to Pharaoh.
That's exactly why Moses was concerned about going to Pharaoh. Because
mm-hmm.
Pharaoh represented the crocodile. Pharaoh represent. We'll read about that in Bo again this coming year.
Well, I felt like in the first verse we read when it said rivers and it was plural, and we saw that there were levels of rivers and streams and all, that it was speaking of levels of negativity. And,
correct.
So I would think, and I mean, you know, in Louisiana we have we have crocodiles, we have alligators, and just last week they showed on television, I don't remember where it was, but and I was just passing through the room when I looked at the screen, and it was this huge alligator, but it was so huge, it actually looked like a dinosaur. And, you know, so I would think that all the creatures in the swamp or in Egypt, you know, whether it's crocodiles, alligators, you know, that would all fit in this verse.
I
guess that was wrong. Hashem had to say, come with me, Moses.
Right.
It wasn't you go. It was come with me. So.
No, I understand. And we'll read about it in the Parasha of Bo, where it really, the Zohar explains it in detail. But this is explaining us. This is explaining the concept of the craftier. It's really saying that the negative system, first off, we have to understand streams or seas are sephirot. They're levels of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And the serpent comes from above, and as he goes down through the sephirot, down through the levels of consciousness, he draws the light to himself. But in so doing, he separates the consciousness into left and right. And so he controls the left. So as he comes down lower and lower, he's got this light. So it appears to, or it appeared to Eve, that he was a good thing because the light was there and overshadowing, so to speak, the negativity that she would normally sense by virtue of her soul and her abilities to receive light. But as it comes down level by level, it's separating the communication of the various levels. So that ultimately Malchut at the lowest level has now been separated from Zeranpin. And so there was no way for Eve to not realize that what she was perceiving was this illusion, because as a newborn, even though she was, you know, had a body that was a 20-year-old, according to the Midrashim, as a newborn, she had no life experience to perceive that. And that's the idea of the serpent is craftier than the beasts.
Would that also be like, let's say we have, maybe some action and we carry on this conversation with ourselves. Oh, well, you know, kind of talking yourself out of maybe doing the right thing. maybe because it's more convenient or because, you know, any kind of reasons that you would, these thoughts would go through your head, you know, to tell you, oh, well, it's okay to do this, when in reality it isn't the right thing.
Well, it's exactly the idea, the metaphor of the good inclination and the evil inclination. The thoughts are coming to you. You know, we need to learn that thoughts come from one of two sources, and there's only these two sources. There's the good inclination, or the source of goodness, or an evil inclination, the source of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. So sometimes that tree of knowledge will appear good. It's not always negative. If it was always negative, we'd know not to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the gambler. You know, he places the first bet and he wins, and then he places another bet and he wins, and then he a third bet and he wins, and then he gets excited and he puts it all out on the table and he loses. This is the way the negativity works.
Well, I'm thinking of the example when I first started with the classes, and things would irritate me because I'd get interrupted so many times, and I thought that was just impatience, and I had to be more patient. Until probably a year of that happening over and over and over and over, and I finally got the message, probably through one of your teachings, that the person that was interrupting me had a schedule too, and that in reality it wasn't impatience, it was selfishness on my part, that I thought that my schedule was more important than the other person's schedule. So the illusion was impatience, but the root wasn't impatience, it was selfishness. So, and that helped me a lot when I got to that point. So
good. It's important to realize that. And thank you for sharing that. We're over. We've got two more verses, which I think we'll finish tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll try and do it today, as the last verse is quite long, so.
Okay. All right.
Hello.
Yes.
I have really bad reception, but that was really, both of you, that was a very good class tonight. That was very, very helpful. Thank you both.
Well, I can't speak for Pana, but you're welcome from my side.
Well, I'm glad that made, you know, help someone. So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You both, everybody should have a good evening. And we'll be continuing with Rabbi Ashlag's general introduction, I believe it is, that we're working on. But my memory, you know, I'll figure it out by 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock West.
Thank you so much.
Shalom to all.
Shalom, thank you.
That was a good class.